Okie dokie.
It's Leo.
I did turn that one on this time.
If anybody is wanting to help donate for food for the Bible,
food for Bible study, Bible hall.
Yes.
Did Karen McKinney call? Did she call you?
No.
Okay, she will. She's going to make.
Morning.
Good morning.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can be here in your house today, Lord, and fellowship with the people that we love in our community, Lord, and in our church family. We just thank you, Lord, for your many blessings that you bestow upon us, Lord. Let our ears be open and our hearts be softened, Lord, to hear the words that you want us to hear and learn the lessons you want us to learn, Lord. May we go through this lesson, Lord, and get exactly what we need to hear. Sometimes it's different for each one of us, Lord, but you give us that blessing. We just thank you, Lord, for all you do for us every day. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. So today we're studying the second Adam. Who is the second Adam?
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus is the second Adam. I'm going to read this introduction because some of our questions actually come out of this first introduction. It says, ask 10 people to list the top 10 most influential people who have ever lived. Tell them the influence can be positive or negative, and that will surely change the list. As negative influences go, they will most likely forget to mention the man whose negative influence affected the whole world. His name was Adam. In Hebrew, his name means mankind. The name fits because he represented all mankind, not just symbolically, but spiritually. There's an Old Testament concept sometimes called corporate solidarity that feels foreign to modern Western folks. Modern Western culture thinks about the world individualistically. Sometimes that can be helpful, but Israel's scriptures viewed the one in connection with many, and many represented by one. That's in Hebrews 7:10 is a good example by the Hebraic way of thinking. For a descendant was considered somehow present with his ancestors before his birth. The ancestor and the descendant are connected. This week's lesson explores this concept in relationship to the human race, both in the first man, Adam, and the second Adam, Christ. So what we just read, there was questions, and it said, in what ways was the name Adam fitting for the first man?
Mankind.
Yeah, his name meant mankind, so he was the first of mankind, so that name was fitting. And what is corporate solidarity?
Everybody.
Kind of.
The way they're talking about it kind of is that the descendants are, you got a bad one at the top, the whole thing's going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
You got a good one above the board, above the law. But that's what it means. It's like the whole family is grouped into one.
Mm-hmm.
It's solid. But things can change.
Right. When you think of corporate, you usually think of business. So it would be like a business having a CEO, and they have a name, a brand. And everything that happens, even if the lowliest person in that whole chain does something bad, it still goes back to the top guy at the top, because the buck gets passed down. Well, it also gets passed back up, and when something bad happens, it goes back. So it's kind of like with Adam, when we see sin and we say sin was in the world, that all goes all the way back, because Adam, that's where it started, was with Adam.
The question your daughter, whoever that was, asked a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Debbie, it's kind of like when, what was that, the football player that owned Nikes for a while.
Yeah.
They boycotted Nike, and Nike got rid of him.
Yeah. So it always, so it goes back to the top and mm-hmm. where it started. So, yes. Okay. So we're reading, we'll be studying the second Adam. The first part is the first Adam, and then we'll have the second Adam. And we can start with, if someone will read verse 12.
And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all...
So besides humanity, what else did Adam's sin impact?
Everything.
And how would you... How could you illustrate that? How would you say that would work?
Death.
Was there...
Christ dies, every animal dies.
Yes. And one thing can lead to another. You know, sin came into the world, man sinned, then the sins that he perpetrated caused other things to happen, whether it would be killing... Or whether it was animals, they killed animals, or they didn't. God asked us to take care of the land, and so when those things don't happen, there's more sin. So it led to many different things, and it said actually that sin affected everything. Everything in the world, down to the last Adam. Adam, A-T-O-M. So it wasn't just an isolated little thing. It passed on, and it affects everything in our creation.
I read that it affected the land, and so then
yes,
grow these crops and stuff. Well, then it also brought forth thorns and thistles. You can ask any farmer around how
yes.
much time they spent.
Multiflora roses.
Chopping thistles out of their fields, out of their pastures, so that the ground was cursed because of this sin as well.
Yeah. Why can no one claim that the condemnation due to Adam's sin is unfair?
Again.
Yes, what did we just talk about? What was that?
Solidarity.
That solidarity, that corporate solidarity. Mm-hmm. He was the beginning, mm-hmm. and it went all the way back. I had said that it's one in connection to many, Adam. It's connected to all of us, and many represented by one, which still goes back to Adam. And the Hebrew way of thinking was a descendant is connected with his ancestors as he was present with his ancestor even before his birth. And then in Hebrews 7:10, it kind of gave an example, and it said this was regarding Levi and Abraham, and I think it was Melchizedek. Receiving pay and tithes. It says Levi received tithes, but it was considered that he also paid tithes as he was in his father's loins, even before his birth, as Adam paid tithes to Melchizedek. So the things that even clear back to Adam that were done, all of his descendants were still, I guess you could say, credited, whether it was good or bad. They were still, that was still them. And the things that they did came from their ancestor. So it's like all going back to one. So many represented by one would be all that lineage, the Levite lineage going back to him.
When you think about this too, the world got so bad. However, Noah was still a descendant of Adam.
Yes.
And it was just a... Yeah.
And it didn't stop there, because we are still born into sin even now. So it's still going, all goes back to Adam. Is there any questions on that one? Okay, if somebody... Okay.
Why did God confront Adam and not Eve? Because she's the one that sinned first.
Yes.
That's why he was responsible.
Yes. And just to clarify things, what did Adam do to bring sin into the world? What was the thing that they did that brought sin into the world?
They ate from the tree of knowledge.
Tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Of good and evil.
Because once they ate that, and what did when the serpent was testing Eve, I guess you would say, what did he tell her would happen if she ate that? What did she say would happen if she ate it?
She said that God told them if they ate from that tree, they would die. And he did not say
surely
he
didn't.
So doubt. He put doubt in her mind.
Yes. And so she was thinking, oh, well, okay, maybe he's right. Mm-hmm. So they ate from that tree. And did they die?
No. Not immediately.
Right.
They did die.
They did die. They did bring death then into the world because the unbelievers will die and have no eternal life. So although they didn't die immediately, mm-hmm. They brought that death into the world with that sin. They brought that death to the world too.
Yes.
That some will not have eternal life. So, okay. Let's read the next 13 and 14.
For to the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness. It is a type of him who was to come.
A couple weeks ago when we studied about the law, what did the law bring to us? What did it do as far as sin?
Awareness.
Yeah, it brought awareness. So sin was already in the world. People were already sinning. It defined it more or less. It defined what was sin, and the law that came from God was more like, well, the Ten Commandments. So those were commands from God. Up until that time, there was no commands from God except that first command that he gave Adam and Eve not to eat that fruit. And so this defined the law and the commandments of God. Let's see. So how did the law make sin clearer?
Just like she said.
Just defined it.
Defined it.
Yeah. And what does it mean that Adam is a figure of the coming Christ?
Well, Adam was the first man, and Jesus is the...
Yes, and it says that they would both follow a pattern, that they both would fight the evil one. Adam didn't win, but Jesus is winning. Jesus will win.
That day when the enemy was snorting.
Yeah.
And God created Jesus because in the earthly form through the...
Yes. Back on the other, when we were talking about the... when we were talking about the law and sin, where did they say that God said where the law was actually, not just on tablets? Where did he say for us where it was?
In your heart.
He said it was written on your heart. Mm-hmm. Even before it was on the tablets, we had the law. And what lets you know if something is a sin or not?
That little wee voice inside.
Yes.
We talked about this in the Sunday school lesson a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The Jews versus the Gentiles. The Jews were, we've got the law, we've got this, we've got that. The Gentiles, even though the law wasn't specifically given to them, they were still bound to follow it. But the Gentiles did not have the law, so to speak. They had a moral conscience.
Right.
That told them the difference in right and wrong. Just like before there was accountability, that's what they had.
And when you think, so you think about the law and sin, and so it's more a balance of between good and evil. Mm-hmm. When do you think that that comes to you as a child?
Oh, early.
Early.
Because you have, okay, you take mm-hmm. the child picks up a piece of candy. You realize that's for you.
Yes.
This is the test for you. Are you going to let them get away with taking that door and tell somebody what they did?
Yes.
That's a responsibility. Like we said, the buck stops here.
So letting them just keep it, then they think it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, mom saw it, but it must be okay because, and it's even when you're little, mm-hmm. you're told not to do something because, you know, of what will happen, the consequences will
Don't
happen.
Touch that, you'll burn your finger. Well,
first thing. Yes. Yeah. So there was consequences to that. So yeah, even when you're little, you know, right from wrong. Mm-hmm. You know. Not in every situation, maybe, depending on your age, but there are things in your life, even when you're little, that you know are wrong to do. So that is written on your heart early, you know. Let's see. Any questions on those? Okay, then let's go on and read 15 through 19. That one's kind of a long one, but...
If through the offense of one, many may be dead, by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men, so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men, vision of life.
One more. 19.
For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous.
So... what is the similarity between Adam and Jesus? There was kind of like one similarity, really.
They both were setting a standard.
And what did they do? They changed the world. Mm-hmm. They each changed the world for good or for bad. Mm-hmm. Adam was one man who changed all of mankind. He brought sin and death to all, and that changed the world. The second Adam would be one man who would change all of mankind also, but he would bring life. So where Adam brought death upon the world, then one man has brought life back to the world.
Well, that takes us back to the original, the garden, when he put them there in the garden and told them not to eat of that tree, and they did. They started because the next tree up the ladder was the tree of eternal life.
Yes.
And he could not have them living forever, and that's it. He kicked out of the garden.
Yes. And God, when God saw that, and when he decided that they needed to be out, he said, we see. The Trinity was already there, because mm-hmm. he said, we see what is happening here. If we don't, you know, put them out of there, they will go on, because of sin, they will go on and eat from that tree too. Yes.
So did Adam hesitate to take that bite?
No.
So then the moral compass came.
Well,
I don't know. If that's when it happened, or if it happened when he heard God. He did.
And then that's when he...
I think that message from God that gives that realization.
Yeah, because it said, you know, she handed it to him, he took it. Mm-hmm. And then when they were talking to the serpent, or when God was talking to them, and he asked Adam, and he said, well, Eve gave it to me, mm-hmm. you know, and Eve said, well, the serpent talked me into it.
You told me to do this.
So, you know, they were doing the blame game, but God then took it back up. The chain back to Adam. So, yeah, I don't think he even thought about eating it.
I was wondering at what point did that?
Yeah.
When did he realize?
So something had to be telling these people.
Well, I'm thinking too. When he probably took that apple, or whatever it was, the piece of fruit. I don't know that he really even thought about the consequences. So because he just took it, there was no argument. I mean, the Bible doesn't show any that there was any argument with Eve. There was no, we shouldn't do this. You know, God told us we couldn't have that. You would have thought that he would think God told us we couldn't have that and at least said that. Mm-hmm. But,
like I said, I think the reflection point was when
he realized he said that.
Yes, because then Yes, because as soon as he heard God, then they hid because they were naked. And, mm-hmm. you know, and God said, you know.
I've just pulled up the scripture, and it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So he was standing there when the serpent said mm-hmm. this to Eve. He didn't protest.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, he didn't say, hey, wait a minute. No. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covered. Mm-hmm. Then when they heard the Lord, then they hid, because they knew that they had sinned.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I looked it up because I was, you know, I'm sitting here trying to remember.
Yeah, he was there.
He was there with her.
Yes. What does it mean that the gift by grace which came by Jesus Christ abound to reach many, in verse 15. What does it mean that the gift by grace which came by Jesus Christ abounded to many?
Well, it's God's desire that all are saved.
Yes. With the gift of grace, that gift, the gift is overflowing. There is more than enough for all. God's grace to believers has no limit, so it is overflowing. Adam's sin was described as infectious spread of death, whereas Jesus' gift brings life. So where the sin of Adam just passed on like an infection from one person to the other, and it was not a good thing, you know, the gift of grace is I don't know how to describe it. It's just I don't know. How would you describe the gift of grace?
Grace, it's undeserved mercy.
Yes, and
unmerited
it is. It's just a blessing, I guess you would say. It is a blessing that moves on and on too, but in a good way. In a good way, when you have the gift of grace. Don't you want others to have that too? Mm-hmm. So we want to pass it on, but not like an infection. You want it to be a good thing. So, yes. Let's see.
You have to have faith to accept that.
Right? Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's just not given.
No, it is not. No, it is not. Although Adam's sin spread automatically, why is the same not the case for Christ's gift of grace? Yes. Any gift that you get, you have to receive it to enjoy it. So, or to have it. If somebody offers you any kind of gift and you say, oh, no, no. Even if it was something that you really needed. I don't know. Just say you needed a new skillet and somebody buys you a new skillet. Mm-hmm. And then you're too proud to take it. Mm-hmm. And you say, oh, no, no, that's fine. I'm okay. And then you get home, and then what do you think? I needed that skillet. Why didn't I take that skillet? But that was your consequences. You didn't get what you really needed mm-hmm. because you wouldn't accept it. So that's the same with salvation. It's there for you, and it's free. And you have to accept it in order to receive it. So, yeah, that is the gift. Let's read the last verses 20 and 21.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might be my death. Even so, grace might reign through.
A couple weeks ago, when we talked about sin and grace, what did we find about when Jesus died on the cross for us and that grace and mercy was offered to us? How did that affect the people that was before Jesus? They were still held accountable, but it said even the grace would go back and cover.
Yeah.
Could cover them too. If they were, I would say, I guess if they were believers in God, and they were believers,
if they were
Yes, then God would count them as righteous also. So it would
have an option of burnt offering, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. So it that grace still went back, all the way back to cover them. And then it goes all the way forward, even into the future. Mm-hmm. So that was a thing that they had. So what does this mean, that grace much more abounded over sin? It covered all sin. Yeah. It covered
death
all of it.
We should not fear death, although we can.
Yes, yes. It says here, to describe the way grace outpaces sin in Christ, Paul said that grace did much more abound. He used a compound word meaning beyond increase. Sin increased and grace increased much more. The result is that for those who believe, God's grace overwhelms the sin, death, and condemnation inherited from Adam into eternal life with the heroic second Adam. So grace is given and offered to all, and whether we accept that or not is up to us. He gives us that choice. But without it, then we're left with the death that Adam brought for us. Let's go on and read the practical points. Although Adam's sin brought condemnation and death to all people, Jesus' free gift brings righteousness and life to all who believe. And notice it says, to all who believe, not just everybody, to all who believe.
Adam is a type of Christ because his action impacted all people who are connected to him. Found only in Christ.
Okay, that's it. Thanks.
It's not what we're doing anymore.
Okay, do I leave this thing running or
turn? No, it turns off. Hit the square button up there.